Hello, everybody. This is the Steve Barish Healing Hour. I have a wonderful, wonderful guest this evening. Her name is Sam Spaker, and she knows a lot about vaccines. And she's a very dear friend that I've known for a lot of years. And Sam is extremely knowledgeable. She is a co-founder of No Vaccines, K-N-O-W, Vaccines. And she is so good at this. And she has a lot of information on her website. And the website that I hooked up to is noharm@frontiernet.net. And Sam is with us this evening. Sam?
Yes.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, Sam. Could you fill us in with some information about yourself and why you got involved with vaccines?
Oh, I'd love to do that.
Thank you.
Yes, I hope everyone can hear me.
Yes.
Sam, I'm Sam Spaker, as you heard, and I started this quest, if you want to call it a quest, after my daughter Alexis had passed away. And when she was sick, we were trying to get alternative care for her, and we were told we couldn't do it. She was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease. And after she had passed away, I searched to find what is it that I was missing and that I wasn't able to help my daughter. And through that search, I came to a vaccine conference in Toronto. And at that time, there were three doctors and a nurse speaking about vaccines. And I said, well, what does that have to do with health? I mean, vaccine, everyone has to get them.
Yes.
And then I found out the dangers of vaccines, and I started doing research. And I requested Alexis's medical records, and it was right there in front of me that she was allergic to vaccines. And Dr. Scheibner, who wrote the book Vaccinations, 100 Years of Research, was the first one to really alert me or speak about the vaccine. And I read her book, and it was as if I was reading Alexis's chart in her book. That's how accurate she was about the damage that the vaccines were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Alexis had her MMR, that's when she developed Hodgkin's disease. And so that started my search for more information. And then, of course, it was important for me to share all this information with the rest of the people because I didn't know any of this prior to this happening to me. And as I started doing the research, I realized how much research has been done since 1800s about vaccines and how much information was out there that, as parents, we didn't know. And so this was the reason why I started the No Vaccine. My husband and I had a conference here in Rochester, New York, and invited all the medical doctors and research scientists to come and attend. They didn't show up. And it was and there were four doctors that spoke, two medical doctors and two chiropractors. So it was really a beautiful conference. And the whole idea for me is not really that I'm against vaccines. What I am is for the information for people to know and the freedom to choose.
Yes.
That's the bottom line for me. It's not a matter I want to convince anyone. Steve said I do know quite a bit of information. Yes, I do, but there are people out there that know a lot more than I do. I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I have enough information to at least open the door for people. And I'd like to start with a quote that I love of Ron Paul, who's a U.S. representative of Texas, and he's running for president right now. And the quote that I have on my website, it says, freedom over one physical person is the most basic freedom of all. And people in a free society should be sovereign over their own body.
Yes.
And that's the bottom line for me, right there.
Well, I was also reading, you have quite a quote here, always remember parents have choices and parents have rights.
Yes.
And I think that what we need to do is to explain to our wonderful people out there what are our rights and what do we do? I know in New York State they're pretty tight, but there are ways of finding out and what to do. So if you can fill us in a little bit, that would be great.
Every state is different, and you have to go into your own state to find out what the exemptions are. In New York State, we have medical exemption and we have religious exemption.
Right.
And at the present time, they're putting a lot of pressure on the parents in New York about the religious exemption. The only thing they have to say, in New York especially, is that they have a sincere and genuine belief, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're asking them more questions about their religion, which is unconstitutional. They do not have a right to ask for that.
Right.
But those are the two main things in New York State, religion and medical exemption.
Right, right.
And it's on my website where you can get the exemption letter or just the law itself.
Yes, I saw that the other day. I was looking through the vaccines, and I was looking at measles, mumps, and rubella.
Uh-huh.
And the side effects are absolutely shocking. I mean, anaphylactic shock, encephalitis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's serious stuff. Cellulitis, herpes zoster, nerve deafness. There's a lot to it that I didn't know. And I suspect that the people don't know that there are really toxic things in these vaccines.
Yes.
And it's not really published. I mean, it's not really published. It's really crazy. I'm looking at it right here, and they have MSG.
Yes.
And sorbitol, sucrose, human albumin, and bovine serum in ingredients. I mean, MSG. I go to Chinese restaurants and don't even ask them to put that in my food, and I can't imagine putting that in a child's body.
Yes, directly into their blood.
Yes.
And it doesn't even have a chance. I mean, it goes directly to their liver, and that's how they get the shock into their system. If you ever watch a child receiving a vaccine, immediately their eyes change.
Yes.
And it's quite fascinating to see what we're doing to our children without realizing it.
Yes.
And the other statistics that's not on the website, and anyone can find this out, the number one killer disease for children is cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at some of these ingredients that we have in the vaccine, polysorbate 80, cause of cancer in animals,
mm-hmm.
Formaldehyde, aluminum, there's so many ingredients there that are talking about directly to cancer. And yet no one's asking the question, why do we have the number one killer disease in our country is cancer?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to speak more about my own experiences. For example, I had
Absolutely.
An opportunity to go to a trial of a parent who was accused of shaking their baby. And the little girl at that time was in a coma. I don't know what happened to her now. But while I was sitting there at the trial, the prosecutor was going into saying that the father shook the baby and the baby had to be thrown across the room in order for that child to have that kind of injury. And then when the defense lawyer asked the doctor who was saying that the vaccines could not have done anything to damage that child, so the defense lawyer said, well, can you tell us what's in the vaccine? And the doctor said, I have no idea. But they couldn't have done any damage. I was right there in that court at the time when she said that.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, how could anyone make that statement? And not, if you don't know what's in there, then how could you possibly not know whether the vaccine did the damage or not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
yes.
That was quite an interesting situation for me.
I guess.
To say the least, yeah. And I also had called another parent that I heard that their child died of shaking baby syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And the mother had mentioned that the little baby's arm was shaking prior
right.
to the baby's death. So I had contacted her. Name was mentioned on the television, so I
mm-hmm.
called her. And I had asked her, when was your child vaccinated?
Mm-hmm.
2 days before it died.
Wow.
And I had shared all my information with her lawyer. And again, the man was accused of shaking the baby.
Wow.
And a wonderful book for the viewers or the listeners out there is The Vaccination, 100 Years of Orthodox Research.
Yes.
With Vera Scheibner, the PhD that wrote that book.
Right.
Now, she talks about how that happened. She connected SIDS to the vaccine.
Right.
And she used a breathing device.
Yes.
And through the breathing device, she and her late husband created this breathing device, and they did a lot of questions of parents that used the breathing monitor.
Yes.
And what they realized at the end is that the vaccines were the ones that were causing this for the children. And this
yes.
happened in Australia. So she was so excited, she went, she told us this story. She said she was so excited, she went to every pediatrician to share her knowledge and to save the children. And no one wanted to hear about it.
Mm.
This was her story, and she shared that at the conference in Toronto.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the exemption letter from New York State. It's quite interesting. And it's very informative.
Yes.
It seems to be long, and it's right basically to the fact. Mm-hmm. With Alexis, was she induced, you think, with the Hodgkin's disease?
Yes, I
okay.
do believe that.
Right.
That's exactly what happened, because Dr. Mendelsohn had mentioned in his book, How to Raise a Healthy Child in Spite of Your Doctors, the name
yes.
of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And in that book, he mentioned that MMR induces Hodgkin's disease.
Right.
Yeah. And that, again, I knew that after Alexis passed away.
Yeah. Very,
and
very
interesting. Because I also had Hodgkin's disease.
Oh.
And what happened was, it was right after my, what is it? TB test.
Hello? Well, hold on, Sam. Somebody's calling. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, can we help you?
Well, I don't understand this program. I was told by Joyce Mowell
yes.
that it was to be a healing program.
Yes, we do have a healing program, and Joyce Mowell is correct, but I have, this is a very informative program.
Oh,
and
I
we're
see.
Talking
so you're not doing private healings tonight over the phone?
I think a little later, but right now we're discussing about vaccinations.
Right, so then I should call in about how much later?
Oh, I would say about 6:45. Is that okay?
6:45? All right, yes, and thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
All right, dear. Bye.
Bye-bye. I'm sorry, Sam. Go ahead.
Not a problem. I don't know what we were talking about.
Okay. I was talking about the exemptions, and we were talking also about your daughter.
Mm-hmm. And then I had mentioned that I also ended up with Hodgkin's.
Yes.
And mine was induced by the TB test, which is another form of vaccine.
Is it really?
Yes. And it was shortly right after, within a month or two after that vaccine, that I developed Hodgkin's disease.
Okay.
So, and then another doctor that I had spoken to had said that if there's a weakness in the family,
yes,
the vaccine will induce that. So for some people, it might be Hodgkin's. For other people, it might be leukemia. Leukemia has been known to come on after a hepatitis B vaccine.
Yes.
A friend of mine, son who ended up with leukemia, it was right after the hepatitis B vaccine, less than 2 weeks after.
Right.
The hepatitis B vaccine. So
that's amazing, Sam.
It is, and I think the information, the way I handle it is that I mention to people it's very important when you're vaccinated, if you choose to vaccinate your child, my personal belief is that do the research. Once the door is open, do some research to find out if that's the avenue you want to go vaccinating
right.
the child.
Right.
But if you choose to vaccinate your child, then keep a calendar, a health calendar. And every time they have a vaccine, then monitor what happens after the vaccine.
Right.
So you can see if there's something happening to your child.
Mm-hmm.
And that would indicate whether you want to continue or not.
Right.
So information is really the best thing that you can do for your
yes.
for yourself and your family.
Yes.
As well as even the flu shots, they're extremely dangerous. And
yes.
people are not aware of it.
Very, very interesting, Sam. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the, the questions to ask, how do parents protect their most precious gift, of course, their children, and the questions to ask a doctor, and it seems to be very, very interesting. what are the ingredients in the vaccines? And most doctors really don't know.
Exactly.
And, you know, if you're going to take your child to the doctor and the doctor doesn't know about the ingredients, what should they do, Sam?
Well, actually, this physician's desk reference has all the ingredients of all the vaccines in it.
Okay.
And that's something that every doctor has in their office, should have anyway.
Right.
And the
right.
inserts, the vaccines have an insert, and it mentions all the ingredients. It should. And sometimes they say the, this is Dr. Geyer saying to us at a meeting, that sometimes the insert itself, the vaccine might have mercury in it, but the insert will not say it.
Really?
Yeah. The box that they came into might say it's mercury laced.
Right.
But the individual vaccine will not have that. That's what he shared with us in Buffalo.
Right.
When he spoke.
My question would be, would doctors know the long-term studies of vaccines, or they would not know the long-term?
There aren't really that many long-term studies done
okay.
by the doctors.
Okay.
But other doctors who have, they can get it by reading the books that I've read.
Yes.
They can get it through, probably, now Dr. Scheibner got all her research, she said, from the medical book.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in the library. Maybe they're not in the physician's desk reference, but yet it does. I mean, they do give you a little bit, like, for example, hepatitis B.
Mm-hmm.
It has most of the side effects are listed, and yet one of the side effects that is listed on one of the sheets that that I had received was death,
mm-hmm.
and yet it's not mentioned here
okay.
in the physician's desk reference.
Okay.
So for parents, I think the best place to start would be the physician desk reference. Use your
okay.
own medical books because they do have the information there.
I like the books on vaccines that you have, like Impossible Cure by Amy Lansky, and who's a PhD, by the way, and The Vaccination Dilemma by Christine Murphy, and How to Raise a Healthy Child by Robert Mendelsohn. So there's a lot of information on your websites
yeah.
to give people an idea of where to go and what to do. I find it really interesting that you have so much information on there. It's just really great. I mean, it'll wake up people's eyes so they have an idea of how these vaccines really work. And from what I'm hearing is that there's really no study on these vaccines that are really worthwhile. The studies are with what happens after the shots are given.
Yes.
And it seems like it's pretty bad. I was reading No Vaccines Here on the questions of what to ask the doctor. If in my family there has been vaccination reactions such as convulsions, neurological disorders, or cancer, is my child susceptible to these disorders as well? And I think that's a very imperative question. To ask the doctor. It's just I find it amazing and shocking that the shots have all these ingredients to harm.
Mm-hmm. And yes, and we're not giving the information as parents. It seems like our hands are tied behind us.
Yes,
we don't know what to do. And this is what the thrust of this website is: to open the door for parents.
Right. Right.
And I agree with you, Steve. The questions are very important. And then if the doctor can get the answers, then you can do the research together.
Yes.
And share the information with your doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they are extremely busy. I understand that. So you can help them out by providing them with the information.
Yes.
Have. And it's interesting. I think on my website I also have the Nuremberg Code.
Yes.
That says that voluntary consent of the human subject is essential.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Nuremberg law or code was all about. The trial was about the fact that people didn't have a right to refuse
right.
experiments that were happening on them.
Right.
And so it's very, very important for us to remember that in this country, we have a right to say no when it comes to our body.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. And if there's any possibility of death, and there were children that died hours after the hepatitis B vaccine, mm-hmm. and that's found in the literature VAERS report,
yeah.
V-E-A-R-S.
Okay.
And it's a reaction. So they have it state by state where people can look into, and if they have their batch number, they can find out whether that particular batch number had any kind of reaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the doctors have to report to that agency if there has been any reaction to a child.
Yes.
And if sometimes they don't, then the parent should really do that.
Yes.
And on my website, I do have a phone number and how to contact them.
I believe it's a 1-800 number, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
1-800-822-7967.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's 1-800-822-7967. I was also looking at the news and research about avoid the destructive wrath of mercury in vaccines. They have a different name for it altogether, thimerosal, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and best known for its use as an ethyl mercury-based preservative found in infant vaccines, which I think, and pregnancy shots, to autism and other developmental disorders has led many families to question whether the political potential risk associated with early childhood immunizations may outweigh the benefits.
Yes.
And I'm finding out from reading this that they actually use mercury.
Yes.
I think that's absolutely amazing. We're trying to get it out of their mouths, and they're pumping it into our children.
Yes.
I mean, it's going right into the body.
Yes, and it's one of the most poisonous substances known.
Yes.
And it attacks the brain, the gut, the liver, the bone marrow, and kidneys.
And I think people have to know that mercury does not leave the body. I mean, there's a lot of side effects to mercury. It could lead to autism.
Yes.
I mean, it could lead to SIDS. I mean, it's so serious, and we're using those products, and people really don't know what they're using, and people don't even know what they're doing when they're injecting these children. They have no idea. They think that that everybody knows all the information, and they don't.
Mm-hmm. And there was a study done in Japan where when they realized there were a lot of children dying of SIDS,
yes.
they stopped the vaccinations until they were 2 years old.
Yes.
And the incidence of SIDS dropped tremendously.
Yeah.
Just by waiting until they were 2 years old before they vaccinated them.
Yes.
One of the reasons they claim, the doctors were explaining that at the conference, was because the children do not produce bile to get rid of the mercury.
Right.
And so therefore an adult can get rid of it a lot, well, not a lot better, but a lot quicker than a baby could.
Yes.
And so that's one of the main reasons, and this is why the autism has gone up so high.
Yes.
And Dr. Wakefield, who really is... one of the first, well, there were many that were complaining about this, but Dr. Wakefield spoke here in Rochester,
mm-hmm.
and wonderful research scientist, medical doctor, and he was the first one to connect autism to MMR publicly.
Okay.
And now they're trying to get his license away from him in England.
Really?
Yes. And Dr. Singh here in the United States, I can't remember now where he is exactly,
mm-hmm.
but both of them had spoke at Congress.
Okay.
Congressional hearing. I can give you the date that it happened. It was April 6, 2000.
Okay.
And autism presents challenges, future needs, why the increased rate was the question.
Yeah.
And Dr. Singh and Dr. Wakefield spoke about that.
Yes.
And they definitely found connection. And Dr. Singh said... mentioned at the hearing how easily the scientific research is to test, and he's amazed that NIH and CDC
mm-hmm.
have not been reporting the connection of MMR to autism. He said it's so simple to see that.
Yes.
And
yes.
So that was directly from the congressional hearing. So it's
yes.
not something that's being said here that doesn't have facts here.
Gotcha. That's really amazing. I'm looking at the hepatitis B that we were talking about a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really amazing. The side effects are anaphylactic shock, encephalitis, SIDS.
Oh, did say death. Yes.
And or death reported, seizures, infantile spasms, mm-hmm. Guillain-Barre,
yeah.
Bell's palsy, transverse myelitis, multiple sclerosis.
Mm-hmm.
And the amazing part about it is renal failure, is that the products in it are aluminum formaldehyde, femoral, which is mercury. And how many people really know that these products are in these vaccines? And how many different kinds of, if you're getting a hepatitis B shot, are we getting more than hepatitis B? In other words, is there 10 more vaccines in that one vaccine? Do we know what they are? Are the doctors being told what they're given? I just find it amazing.
Well, the thing is, it's important to really, for me anyway, it's very important to stay with the information that we have.
Okay.
And the information that we have with hepatitis B at the present time is that it has hepatitis B virus, gene, yeast, protein, and aluminum, formaldehyde, and thimerosal.
Right.
They're saying that. And they also mention in Physician's Desk Reference that these are the side effects. And it also mentions that they haven't done long-term studies on this.
Yes.
So they really have no idea how it's going to affect the child.
Yeah.
And so those are the important... I mean, if I knew any of this,
right.
none of my children would have been vaccinated.
Yeah.
And this is the key. It's important for people to have the information and the freedom to choose.
Absolutely.
And there's so many wonderful modalities that I'm learning right now that help parents with keeping their children healthy. Homeopathy is there.
Okay.
Herbs, energy work, as you know.
Yes.
There are so many things that can help us.
Yes.
And this is not our first defense mechanism.
Okay.
The vaccine.
Okay. Yeah, I was reading the hepatitis B here. I was just astounded what I was looking at.
Mm-hmm. And they give it to children as soon as they're born.
Wow.
I mean, just hours old.
Wow. I had my best friend, Debbie, she just, her daughter-in-law and son had a little baby and about 2 months ago, and they've already given this child shots.
Mm.
And that child cried for, oh my God, I think about 2 weeks. So there's a lot to it, and but my question is, Sam, there is a lot of things to do other than to get vaccination shots. Can we discuss that on the radio? Excuse me. Is it possible to discuss the things that we could do alternatively?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Okay. What I would have done for my children, had I known this, I would definitely look into homeopathy.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me shut
Someone's
this off.
Someone's verifying that for us.
Yeah, I'm getting phone calls. I'm getting a lot of phone calls through my own radio, my own telephone. So I'm just shutting that off. I'm sorry.
Okay. Homeopathy has wonderful. For example, a doctor had mentioned. You can use homeopathy, like Thuya is one of the homeopathic remedies you can give if you vaccinate your child and you want to take the side effects out of your child.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you can do if you choose to vaccinate is to give vitamin C. This is what I would have done, let's say. Give a high dosage of vitamin C to a child before and after the vaccine.
Okay.
And if, according to a lot of the doctors, it's important to keep your child healthy. And how do you do that? By nutrition, by being familiar with homeopathic remedies, so when your child comes down with a certain disease, then you give the appropriate homeopathic remedy.
Right.
Yet, I would hook up with a wonderful homeopath that is very knowledgeable.
Okay.
And you can do that either in your own area or find out who is a good homeopath and visit them once.
Yes.
And then they can do the They can work with you through the phone.
Mm-hmm.
There's herbs.
Yes.
There's the ones that I'm more familiar is homeopathy and herbs.
Yes.
And vitamins. So those are the key things that I use for myself.
Right.
There might be something more out there, but those are the ones that I'm very familiar. And the woman that healed her child of autism in that book,
mm-hmm.
the title you mentioned.
That was, hold on a second. How to Raise a Healthy Child, I believe.
No.
Impossible Cure?
Yes, the Impossible Cure.
Amy Lansky.
Yes, she cured her son with homeopathy.
Okay.
Of autism. My girlfriend, who also had two autistic children, was able to use homeopathy and cured her children through
mm-hmm.
homeopathy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if homeopathy can cure autism, which according to the medical establishment, it's not possible.
Right.
Then what else can it do to a healthy child?
Yes.
If they come down with a certain childhood disease. And remember, it's childhood diseases. And there's another group that also believes that children need to experience these diseases in order to pump their immune system and make it stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So what you do is make sure that they're calm, that they have lots of liquids, and they rest during the time that they're not feeling well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you're there with them, nurturing them, and you watch them to make sure enemas, being able to give them enemas during that time to expel anything in their intestines.
Okay.
So there's a lot of information. One of my favorite books is Immunization, The Reality Behind the Myth.
Okay.
By Waleen James.
Okay.
In that book, she does talk about alternatives to vaccines as well.
Yes.
So that's a wonderful book for parents.
Yes.
So I definitely agree that if you choose not to vaccinate, then definitely take charge of the health of your children.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know that with the references and links, that there was a lot of books in there that contained a lot of information on homeopathy, which I think is very, very interesting. So would you mind saying your website so people can get on there?
Yes.
And give them the information, please?
Yes, it's Knowvaccine, KNOW. Vaccine, plural, VACCINES, .com. And another vaccine that people, another link that people just adore is thinktwice.com. That's an easy one to remember, too.
Okay.
And it's a wonderful, wonderful website.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good one.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
I have a feeling that people are waiting to be healed here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The other thing is that I'm picking up here. I'm on your website with the pages, and I'm looking at some of the books here, and there's a beautiful baby being held by the mom, and it says The Vaccination Dilemma.
Uh-huh.
And the homeopathic treatment of children, which is really interesting. There's so much information on your website. It's just absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's Dr. Moskowitz, I believe.
Paul Herskew.
Paul Herskew?
Yes.
Okay, yes.
And Moskowitz is, let's see here, I think I just passed that by a second ago,
mm-hmm.
and it looked like a really good book. I'll have to go get that one. I just saw her a minute ago.
He's another wonderful homeopath as well.
Yeah,
both
there's...
Dr. Herskew and Dr. Moskowitz.
Okay, there's a good one here. It looks very interesting. Immunization.
Uh-huh.
The Reality Behind the Myth.
Yes.
And that's by Waleen James, I believe
right.
the name is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of good books here. Impossible Cure. We just talked about that a little while ago. So I think there's a lot of information on these.
There's another book, and I'm hoping that it's on my website. I'm pretty sure it is. It's called Vaccines, Are They Really Safe and Effective?
Okay.
By Neil Z. Miller.
Okay, yes, I have it right here. It's right on your website.
It's a wonderful book.
Yes, and yes, Vaccines, Are They Really Safe? By Neil Z. Miller. Right.
Yes.
I'm looking right at it. It looks like there's a lot of good books here.
Yes.
That can fill in a lot of people. So, in all, what I'm seeing here, there is a tremendous amount of information that would give us a lot of hindsight and let us understand what's going on and to be very aware of what our rights are.
Yes.
And I guess what I'm looking at, it says, up here it says, buy a book and help support the work of Now Vaccines, which of course is really great. So I think that there's so much information that you're giving people, and there's so much information out there. It's really amazing. I know that I was talking or listening actually to a tape the other day. I believe it's Horowitz, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
Is that his name?
Yes.
And he was talking about back in the 60s when they were given the polio vaccine in the city of Boston, if I remember correctly, if that's correct, that he said when they gave the vaccine for polio, there was a 400% increase in polio after they gave that shot.
Yes.
And I just find that absolutely amazing. I was listening to Dr. Horowitz, and he's really knowledgeable also.
Yes.
And so you're in a wonderful group of people.
Len Horowitz was the one that was at that conference that I attended originally.
Right.
He found out about the dangers of vaccine.
Yes.
And the other thing that people are not aware of is with the polio vaccine, there's a virus that's called SV40 that has been given children brain tumors. And according to our friends who have done extensive research, and their little boy had passed away of a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on my website as well, Michael Horowin.
Yes.
And Raphael.
Yes.
And what they found out was that when the SV40 is found in your tumor, the chemotherapy cannot work for you.
Okay.
And their son had SV40 in the tumor. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to do something other than the allopathic method, which was chemotherapy.
Yes.
And they were going to take their son away, so they chose the chemo, and the little boy died at 2 years
old. Oh, gosh.
And the same thing happened with us. We didn't want to give Alexa's chemo.
Okay.
They told us they would make it very hard for us, and at the end they did have the social services come after us because we refused to give her any more chemo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Even though we were working with another oncologist, but he was using homeopathy at that time.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely amazing.
It is. But polio, the live polio virus, like they said, and Dr. Eddy, I wish I could remember, I'm not very good with dates, but
okay.
Dr. Eddy, if anyone looks her up, she had said that she knew that the virus was there. She noticed it and said that if you continue vaccinating these children with polio, you will see such an epidemic of cancer in children. And here we are, number one disease for children is cancer.
Yes. I believe, wasn't that the doctor that, I think she asked for help from Dr. Len Horowitz. She was in front of a board, if I remember correctly. They were trying to take her license away. If that's the doctor I'm thinking of.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
But I do know that she did go to the board, and she requested to pull the vaccine out of the market.
Right,
and
right.
And it's the SV40 virus that they have.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at some of the information on congressional hearings. And it says here, physicians as early as 1949 called attention to low blood glucose in children who had severe reactions to the pertussis vaccine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why Dr. Kalikianos, his name is, I can spell it if you need it, but he was in Australia, and what he did was he felt that the vaccines were needed for these children that were malnourished.
Yes.
So he was vaccinating them and noticed that every second child died.
Right.
And that's
right.
the book that he wrote, Every
right.
Second Child Died.
Gotcha.
And what he found out, that if he gave them vitamin C instead of the vaccine, or even after the vaccine, they gave them vitamin C,
yes.
it made a difference for them.
Yes.
So, and then it took him a while before he realized how dangerous the vaccines were. And
yes.
he has written books feeling that the vaccines are very, very dangerous.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Archie Kalikirinos.
It's amazing.
Very interesting man.
Yeah.
And he was one of the men that had said that the swine flu vaccine was extremely dangerous, and if you had any heart condition and you took it,
mm-hmm.
you would die on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And no one listened to him, and sure enough, they had to pull that vaccine off the market
mm-hmm.
right after, because a lot of people were having heart attacks after the vaccine.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So even the flu vaccines are extremely dangerous, and they do have aluminum in it, quite
yes.
a bit of aluminum, and mercury, from what
yes.
I understand.
Yes, and that's amazing. Is this the vaccine? You know, we had a... I remember a few days ago that we had a scare in the paper here that everybody, all the kids in school, had to get this shot. Remember the vaccine shot that was in the paper? I think it was young girls, if I remember correctly.
Oh, yes.
And I found that absolutely amazing. And then that's when I found out that nobody has to have that shot. It's not mandatory. And there's ways of getting around that. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, I think the Vatican even fought against that.
Uh-huh.
They didn't want that shot to happen. And I'm pretty well sure that's what happened
that
in the
one,
newspaper.
With cervical cancer for girls?
Yes.
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 Cortisol. And there's another name for it. Gardasil.
Is that what it is?
They're advertising it left and right. And,
yes.
Yes. It's extremely dangerous. Seven people on the trial died after the vaccine.
I wonder how come that's not published.
I don't know.
You know?
a little bit, very similar to when you look at the IOM.
Right.
The Institute of Medicine had a discussion about the link between vaccine and autism.
Right,
and there were 15
right.
doctors that were involved in this
yes.
discussion, or 15. And 9 out of the 15 said there is a connection and they had no conflict of interest.
Yes.
4 said there is no link at all to autism and
right.
they had conflict
right.
of interest. They were part of the pharmaceutical department.
Right,
and
right.
2 didn't say they didn't commit one way or another.
Yeah.
And when the report came out right after that meeting, they said there is no connection, even though 60% of the doctors said that there was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What the people heard was that there wasn't.
Yes.
This is misinformation. And this is why websites like No Vaccine,
right.
Backlib, and Think Twice are
right.
out there to help parents.
I'm finding out. I was curious about the DTP shot. Mm-hmm. I think little babies are getting those shots too, aren't they, if I remember correctly?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the first few shots that they get, yes.
Yes. And
and if you notice, a lot of times the children end up with the whooping cough.
Yes.
Right after the vaccine.
Yeah. Well, it's again, it's aluminum, formaldehyde, thimerosal, mercury, phenolphthalein,
and also
polysorbate
antibiotics.
80.
We also have antibiotics that they put in the vaccine.
Really?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, Stephen, I'm just waiting for the time when you're going to do this, and I don't need to call at 6:45.
Yeah.
Should we not do this at all tonight?
Well, I'm really on this quest for people to realize the vaccine.
Well, then I will call another Saturday.
Well, do me a favor. Would you call me at home afterwards? I'll give you my phone number right on the air.
Thank you.
It's 585.
Yes.
746-8321.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and we'll discuss that later on. Right now, I think it's really imperative that people...
And I understand that completely, and I thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye, dear. Sorry, Sam.
Not a problem.
I really want people to get to know you and understand what you're all about. There's so much knowledge that you have, and there's so much information.
Yes, and there are, like I said, I'm not an expert here, but I do have enough information to open the door for people.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
And once they start looking at the information, it's amazing how one door opens up. After another.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Tenpenny is another doctor that found a connection between hepatitis B vaccine and arthritis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she has done quite a bit of writing on that as well.
Right, right.
So, you know, people really, really have to do their research if they want to get well.
Right.
Or stay well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's really amazing. Some of the other questions... I think it's important, from what I'm reading about here, is that people should be very informed, again, with questions to their doctors. And there's a whole list here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, that you can ask your doctor before you do have shots. And they should be able to give them an answer. Is that correct?
Yes, they should. And if they can't, then they really should not sign that paper, because when they sign the paper allowing the doctor to give the vaccine, what they're saying is that they're not holding the doctor responsible for any reaction to the vaccine.
Right.
And CDC says that you have to know what's in it and you have to know what the reaction is.
I think also the CDC said you should be very well informed, inform yourself before you give any shots to your children.
Yes.
If I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's under the National Childhood Vaccination Injury of 1986, healthcare providers and manufacturers are requested to record and report certain adverse events occurring with specific time period after vaccination. And that number is 1-800, again, 1-800-822-7967. And I think it's really important for people to be I'm becoming a lot more aware of this vaccination program that's in our country, and I'm just wondering if that's around the world or if we're the only country doing this.
It's around the world.
It is around the world. Okay.
And, from what I understand, I know the countries that I visited, they do have it, especially Greece. I noticed that they have choices there.
Yes.
It's not mandatory. England is another one that's not. It's not mandatory to get them.
Right.
Canada, it's not mandatory. I mean, they would like you to, but it's not mandatory.
Yes.
I don't know about other countries, but I know in America... they make it very difficult for you to get the exemption.
Well, I think, if I remember correctly, reading Dr. Horowitz and what he was saying is that each child, when they come into school, that the school gets a pittance for every child getting shots.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, I think it was $1 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that adds up.
Yes. And that's why they want every child to be immunized, fully immunized, because they do get some money. For it.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And there's no conflict of interest here.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yes. What was it? A wonderful professor, and I think it's in the book, Immunization, the Reality Behind the Myth. And he
right.
said when special interests are involved, one prefers the ugly over the beautiful and the good.
Right, right.
So we always have to ask ourselves, is there something here for me? And I always ask the question, is there anything here for me other than informing parents?
Right.
And making sure that they don't have to go through what we have.
Right, right, right.
And that's the only interest I have. And whether you choose to vaccinate or not, it really doesn't matter. As long as the information is out there for you.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
I there's I understand. I'm looking at your schedule here, and it looks like you give lectures or you speak.
Yes.
To any group or functions, is that correct?
That's correct. Okay.
And I believe the fee is $10 per person. It certainly is an interesting time. And I think it's a minimum of 3 people, is that correct?
Yes.
So anybody in the Rochester area or the Geneva area or even, do you go anywhere, is there?
Yes.
Okay.
They would like me, well,
yeah.
If you don't mind paying for the transportation.
Right. We can, you can email Sam, actually it's Sevasti, Sevaste, mm-hmm. and it's Sam Spaker, Spaker, and I go fishing with her husband once in a while, so he's really a great guy. There's a holistic moms group, I understand,
mm-hmm.
that meets every second Monday of the month from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., and it's in Pittsford, New York?